you have to keep saying to yourself, that's possible for me. I'm willing. I'm open. I'll receive that and not put a lid on it. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of the Unstoppable Woman movement. This Mindset Mastery series on the podcast comes to you every Saturday morning and takes what we discuss in the Morning Mindset Club, compiles it into one easy to access recording, and gives you bonus content at the end that fleshes out one key concept in much more detail. Now, this bonus content is not to be missed. If you're already a part of the Morning Mindset Club, listening to this material a second or even a third time will really lock in the learning for you. If you haven't yet joined us in the Morning Mindset Club, we'd love to have you, and it's free. There's no charge to join. And you will receive this material in short, daily snippets as they come out every morning, along with a specific implementation practice and mastery check-in. It's a full success consciousness program that for the time being is totally free. You can find it at theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. With that, let's dive in and get started. The next quote that I want to pull out, which is one of the main weaknesses of mankind, is the average man's familiarity with the word impossible. He knows all the rules which will not work. He knows all the things which cannot be done. This book was written for those who seek the rules which have made others successful and are willing to stake everything on those rules. A great many years ago, I purchased a fine dictionary. The first thing I did with it was turn to the word impossible and neatly clip it out of the book. That would not be an unwise thing for you to do. Success comes to those who become success conscious. Failure comes to those who indifferently allow themselves to become failure conscious. The object of this book is to help all who seek it to learn the art of changing their minds from failure consciousness to success consciousness. Woo! Love that. Okay. So there's a habit. There's what we've been trained to do, to think it's impossible, to be failure conscious, okay? To pay attention and look at and give energy to all the things that aren't working, all the struggles, all the roadblocks, all the reasons why it can't happen, why you're not capable, why you can't do it, why you should stop. That is not how to be unstoppable. If you want to be unstoppable, you have to have success consciousness. You have to look at how you can succeed, how it can work, where the opportunities are, what the things you can do are, and get started with that. That is what you need to focus on. That is how you go and shift from failure consciousness to success consciousness. And this is a progressive, ongoing activity. It requires study, mentors, actions, experience, application, growth, having a growth mindset. And it's why I keep studying and why I keep working with mentors. You have to stay focused on success and keep your mind right around that. He goes on to say, another weakness found in altogether too many people is the habit of measuring everything and everyone by their own impressions and beliefs. Some who will read this will believe that no one can think and grow rich. They cannot think in terms of riches because their thought habits have been steeped in poverty, want, misery, failure, defeat. These unfortunate people remind me of a prominent Chinese man who came to America to be educated in American ways. He attended the University of Chicago. One day, President Harper met this young man on the campus. stopped to chat with him for a few minutes and asked what had impressed him as being the most noticeable characteristic of American people. "Why?" the man exclaimed. "The queer slant of your eyes. Your eyes are all off slant." "Huh. What do we say about the Chinese? We refuse to believe that which we do not understand. We foolishly believe that our own limitations are the proper measure of limitations." And he goes on here. So think about this. Because of your upbringing, because of your culture, because of your circumstances, who you have been surrounded with, what beliefs you have been indoctrinated in, what experiences and limitations you've had in your life experience will determine what you think is possible, how you see the world. Because you are inside of them. You are living them. And until someone holds a light up to them, you will stay stuck within those beliefs. And that's why they are called limiting beliefs. Most people would rather stay comfortable in their beliefs and struggling and miserable because that's what they're used to than to have someone shine a light up on it, on them. They're too afraid of being wrong. This is a huge thing that stops people. They would rather stay committed to who they are being and what they are doing and what they're believing than have someone who is further along than they shine a light on them with truth and have them be wrong. They're afraid of being wrong, and this holds them back. I made a decision. And it is a decision a long time ago to accept the truth. And quite frankly, you must do that if you want to succeed. Accept the truth. Make the decision to accept the truth. Truth with a capital T. And I decided to accept the truth and listen to my mentors. Did it hurt sometimes? Yes. Was I confronted with things I did not want to see, that did not feel good to see, that felt bad? Absolutely. But what I did was I did everything they said anyway. When they said, invest in this program, do this, I said yes, even when I didn't have the money. When they said, go fly first class, I did it, even when I didn't have the money, even when I didn't understand why that made sense. When they said, go to this conference, do this kind of marketing, do this, be that, follow this, read this, I did it as quickly as I could, despite the discomfort I felt in it, because I was willing to move through my limiting beliefs. I was committed to that. When they showed me my inaccurate thinking, I didn't fight them, get pissy, or blame them. I took a deep breath and I committed to my growth. I said, okay, I'm in it. I'm all in. What if they are right? What if they're coming from a higher level of awareness? What if it didn't make me wrong, but made me bigger, larger, more expansive? What if it got me to a higher level of awareness and beingness to accept the truth rather than fight the truth? So my question for you today is, how quickly can you do this? How committed are you to your truth? And how willing are you to go all in your pursuit of your dreams? These are the questions you need to ask yourself. In this final section of the introduction, the section entitled, "You Are the Master of Your Fate, the Captain of Your Soul, Because... ... Hill writes, "When Henley wrote the prophetic lines, 'I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul,' he should have informed us that we are the masters of our fate, the captains of our souls, because we have the power to control our thoughts." This is so key, you guys. You have the power to control your thoughts. And yet, if you really take a look at everything you're thinking, it's like a monkey mind, right? It's going in a gazillion different directions. It's reactive. And we tend to not think that we have the ability to control our thoughts, nor choose and decide to do so. And this makes us a victim to circumstance, if you will, victim to the outside world determining what we think. Now, our thinking is our creative ability. It's what allows us to translate an idea, spiritual seed, into something that is physically made manifest in this world, something, some result. Our thinking is what is that creative mechanism. And of course, action comes into play, but it starts with a thought that is translated into a feeling and comes out through action, and then we get results, things, manifested reality. And if we don't control our thinking, if we are just reactive to outside circumstance, we lose our power, our God-given power, our divine right. We throw it away. And here's the thing. Most of us weren't trained to control our thinking. No one taught us how to think. And it's so critical to learn how to think. That's part of what this book is about. That's part of what I teach my clients. It's how to think, how to control the thought process so that you are not reactive, but you are creative. This is critical so that the outside world doesn't determine your thinking, but is a reflection of your thinking. Okay, Hill goes on to say, he should have told us that the ether in which this little earth floats, in which we move and have our being, is a form of energy moving at an inconceivably high rate of vibration, and that the ether is filled with a form of universal power which adapts itself to the nature of the thoughts we hold in our minds and influences us in natural ways to transmute our thoughts into their physical equivalent. So I just described this process, but I'm going to do it again. The law of perpetual transmutation of energy says that there is always energy moving through us as us. And our creative ability is our ability to think. And when we think thoughts, that is impressed upon the energy that is moving through us as us, and turns into or is transmuted into things. There's always a transmutation. Now, sometimes we have constructive thoughts, things that are leading us positively towards what we want, and sometimes we have destructive thoughts that are contrary to what we desire. But energy is always moving into form and out of form. Let me say this again. The law of perpetual transmutation of energy says that all energy is moving into and out of form. This is like the tree. The tree grows, it puts out leaves, the leaves go to the ground, they fall in the fall to the ground. They decompose, they become soil. That soil gets transformed into coal over time with pressure that's dug up as peat or coal or whatever. It's put into a furnace. It's used to heat a house. It's turned into energy for heat. People absorb it. They go do things. They create more, and so on and so forth. Energy is always transforming itself in and out of form. Another example of this would be water heated goes into the into steam, goes into the air, and then it comes back down as precipitation. And then that precipitation can freeze into ice cubes, and then that melts, and that goes up into the air again as it heats, and so on and so forth. It's changing form, but nothing is lost. No matter is lost. No energy is lost. Everything that ever was and ever will be is here now, except it's changing form. So when you have a thought, you are taking energy and transforming it into a different form, okay? And it's going through you, being transformed through thought into a feeling, coming out of you in action, and that action creates a result, the thing, the goal that you want in your life, okay? So this is incredibly important to know that our thoughts are the vehicles that transmute that energy into a physical equivalent. This happens in nature all the time. I just gave you two examples of the law of perpetual transmutation of energy. But we, as human beings, have a special role, a special skill, a special capacity. That's the word I want, a special capacity that other animals do not. We have conscious thought, which means we can choose our thinking and transform it and use it to transform what we think about into a new form. We have that creative faculty. Moving on here, Hill says, if the poet had told us of this great truth, we would know why it is that we are the masters of our fate, the captains of our souls. He should have told us with great emphasis that this power makes no attempt to discriminate between destructive thoughts and constructive thoughts, that it will urge us to translate into physical reality thoughts of poverty just as quickly as it will influence us to act upon thoughts of riches. This energy that is always moving through you as you is not discriminating. It's not deciding, oh, these are good thoughts, I think I'll pay attention to that and give her that, help her create that, versus these are bad thoughts, these are poverty thoughts, these are scarcity thoughts, these are victim thoughts, these are destructive thoughts. These aren't thoughts that are going towards what she wants. These are worry thoughts, doubt thoughts, fear thoughts. It doesn't know the difference. It doesn't have that ability. It's just energy. Okay? And it's transmuting whatever you think about. Hill goes on to say, he should have told us too that our brains become magnetized with the dominating thoughts which we hold in our minds. And by means with which no man is familiar, these, quote, magnets attract to us the forces, the people, the circumstances of life which harmonize with the nature of our dominating thoughts. Now, some key things here. Dominating thoughts. This means that you don't have to be perfect. I hear a lot of times that people get into like a circular fear situation because they think, oh my God, I'm thinking negative thoughts or scarcity thoughts or victim thoughts or fear thoughts or worry, doubt. Yes, you want to get a grip on it. You do want to control your mind. The more control you have over your thinking, the more you will have positive dominating thoughts, the faster your outcomes will, your positive outcomes will come to you. The more you are in the negative thinking, the scarcity thinking, the poverty thinking, the it can't happen for me thinking, this is impossible thinking, I don't have the capacity thinking, the why is this so hard, why is this such a struggle, why am I not enough, why can't I get ahead? All of that, if you are in that, that will be your dominating thought. Now, you don't have to be perfect, like I started off saying, but you do want to hold yourself to higher and higher standards because the more you're thinking in terms of possibilities, opportunities, capability, knowingness, belief, abundance, certitude, faith, understanding, knowledge, all of that, wealth, exponential wealth, exponential growth, the more you're thinking in those terms, the more you will magnetize, meaning attract, meaning create that which you're thinking about. You are a creative entity. Yes, we have the law of attraction. Yes, we magnetize to us what we're thinking about. And part of doing that is being a creative being and taking action. So it's not just staring at your belly button there. Okay. But it feels often like a magical experience when it comes faster and easier than you ever thought possible previously. And then what really gets fun is when that which you thought was faster and easier than you ever thought, you double that, you triple that, you quadruple that, and it keeps getting faster and easier, and you can get blown away. But you know, here's the thing, guys. You have to take the lid off. You have to keep saying to yourself, that's possible for me. I'm willing. I'm open. I'll receive that, and not put a lid on it. So often we'll get amazing results and then we'll put a lid on it because that's all we feel worthy of receiving. All we think that we're allowed to receive. Take the lid off, guys. Take the lid off. Okay, Hill goes on to say, he should have told us that before we can accumulate riches in great abundance, we must magnetize our minds with intense desire for riches, that we must become, quote, money conscious until the desire for money drives us to create definite plans for acquiring it. Oh my God, love this, love this, love this. You have to become money conscious. Okay, you have to become money conscious, which means you hold that as the dominating thought. It's possible for me. I can have that. That you're not keeping the poverty thought first and foremost in your mind. Not keeping that, the I can't, but I can. The it's possible, not it's impossible. And keeping it the dominating thought, which means that you keep the expectation of its fulfillment front and center in your mind. And yet what happens for many people is that their self-worth issues come up, their double binds come up, their loyalty packs, the paradigms, the belief structures in their subconscious start keeping them stuck at a certain set point of poverty, of what's possible. And they go back to thinking, it can't happen for me. Or what if I want that and I can't have it? Or what if I want that and I'm setting myself up for disappointment? And the nervous niggle comes up and you reduce what you're going for. And this happens so often based on our upbringing, based on our current environment, limiting our ability to see what's possible for ourselves. So you must train yourself to have money consciousness. Now, if money isn't the thing that you're really going for here in the Think and Grow Rich world, I think most of you probably are or have a component of that. Maybe riches has to do with the relationship, or maybe riches has to do with a goal that you're setting. Like you want to achieve an Oscar, or you want to get an Emmy, or you want to win the Super Bowl, or you want to win Wimbledon, or you want to become an Olympic athlete, or you want to be in the movies, or you want to be on TV, or you want to be on a talk show. You have this goal for yourself that may not have an immediate monetary equivalent, but it's something that you really want. That too is money consciousness. That's wealth consciousness. That's goal consciousness. Okay? So you want to be able to hold that consistently for yourself. Consistently for yourself. Okay. Hill talks about how to make the best use of the rest of this book, and he lays out some suggestions for approaching the work. He says, approach it with open-mindedness. That's so important. What you know now is not what you need to know in order to get the results that you want. If you already knew what you needed to know to get to the results that you wanted, you would have already gotten those results. So you have to stay open. You have to stay open-minded, because if you're getting the results that you want, which I'm excited if you are, but there's let me play this out for you. If you do not constantly have a bigger goal for yourself, you will be in a state of starting to die, of starting to disintegrate, of starting to contract, of starting to become smaller. So you should always desire more. You should always have bigger goals for yourself. Always have results that you have not yet achieved, but desire to achieve. You never want to be satisfied. You can be content. You can be proud of yourself for what you've achieved. You can enjoy what you have right now. Appreciate that. All of that is great. But if you don't have further results that you're going for, then you are in disintegration instead of growth. And so you want to always be open-minded. I read this book every day thinking, how can I learn something new here that will help me get to where I want to go? I stay open-minded. Okay. He also says that this is not what this book is teaching is not the invention of one man, but of 500 men who have started in varying environments, including many of whom who started in poverty and with little or no formal education. So if it's possible for them, it's possible for you, regardless of where you're starting off. And I sometimes think it's harder for people when they're starting off where it's already somewhat comfortable. You're already in the middle class. You're already doing okay, because you're not fighting against that poverty. You're not fighting to break free of some extraordinary hardship. You're not using that pain as your gain. Things are kind of okay. And you have to create the urgency for yourself and really step forward with bigger and bigger goals and dreams. Okay? That's, you have to break free of the cruise control, if you will. Okay. And the third thing that I want to point out here is that Hill says that you will find it easy, not hard to do. Hold that as an expectation for yourself. This doesn't have to be hard. This can be easier than you think. One of the power questions I teach all my clients is, how can you make this easier? How? And I ask myself that all the time. You know, a new goal dropped in for me this morning as I was on my run, and it shook me to my core with excitement, and then that instant reaction of like, oh my God, how is that going to happen, right? Like, how are you going to do that, right? The hows start coming in always. But I now know very quickly, I know how to control my thinking. So in that moment, I think, how can I make this easy? What's the easiest path? What's the easiest path? And I stay open to the answers. And within an hour, I got my answer. Easy peasy, lemon breezy. In fact, I got an answer right on the run, and then a few additional ones came in. So I encourage you to do that. Okay, enjoy. Rock it out. Be unstoppable. Hello, hello, and welcome to this morning's Morning Mindset Club and Chapter 2 of Think and Grow Rich. This seminal book by Napoleon Hill is quite a masterpiece, and we are going to be diving into desire, the subject of Chapter 2, the starting point of all achievement and the first step towards riches. So Hill starts off this chapter with a few salient points, and we go back to the story of Edwin C. Barnes, who we met previously. He says, when Edwin C. Barnes climbed down from the freight train in Orange, New Jersey, more than 30 years ago, he may have resembled a tramp, but his thoughts were those of a king. As he made his way from the railroad tracks to Thomas A. Edison's office, his mind was at work. He saw himself standing in Edison's presence. He heard himself asking Mr. Edison for an opportunity to carry out one of the most consuming obsession to carry out the one consuming obsession of his life, a burning desire to become the business associate of the great inventor. Barnes' desire was not a hope. It was not a wish. It was a keen, pulsating desire which transcended everything else. It was definite. Okay, so many good nuggets just in these first few paragraphs of Chapter 2. So the things I want to point out here to you is that Hill describes Barnes' way of moving forward very specifically, and he talks about the visioning process here, even though he doesn't actually call it out as such. That is what is happening here. Barnes saw himself standing in Edison's presence. He had a picture, and that picture had life to it. It was detailed. It was him standing in the office with Edison, right? There were details to it. And he heard himself asking. So there's another thing that brings that vision into a lifelike movie where the person, in this case Barnes, is living it, is in it. He hears himself. He actually hears himself asking, using the specific words there, Edison, for an opportunity to carry out the one consuming obsession of his life, a burning desire to become business associates with the great inventor. So this was definite. This was not a hope or a wish. Now, hope is an incredibly important aspect of human psychology. If we don't have hope, we don't, we lose motivation. We lose our will to live. In fact, there have been many studies. When we don't have hope, we lose our will to live. So hope is extraordinarily important, but it is not a strategy for achievement in and of itself. Hoping and wishing are not enough. You have to have a strategy, a plan, a clear vision, and it needs to be definite, not wishy-washy. Okay, so you need ideas that build this clarity. Now, some aspects of this might be very clear for you right now, and celebrate that. And then other aspects of what your burning desire is, or your purpose in life, or your big obsession might not be super clear for you right now. Now, don't use this as a reason to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It starts with this inkling of an idea. It can start with a wish. It can start with hope. And let that grow into a dominating desire. Let that have a seed of life inside of you. And keep working it. Keep asking yourself questions. Well, what would that look like? What would that feel like? What would I do if? How would that play out? What else do I want with that? Right? Ask those follow-up questions, and you will get a clearer and clearer picture. So if that's the case for you, take this action now and start visioning and playing out the details. When you get stumped, just take a moment and ask yourself, well, what would I do then? Or how would that play out? Or what would I like in that case? Okay, so now he goes on to say, and I'm reading here, a few years later, Edwin C. Barnes again stood before Edison in the same office where he first met the inventor. This time, his desire had been translated into reality. He was in business with Edison. The dominating dream of his life had become a reality. Today, people who know Barnes envy him because of the, quote, break life yielded him. They see him in the days of his triumph without taking the trouble to investigate the cause of his success. So, you guys, we do not live in a random universe. No one just gets a lucky break. Barnes put himself in a position to be able to see the opportunity, and then he acted on it. He went for it. He kept speaking. He kept doing. He kept asking. This is the law of cause and effect. If you put the causes in action, you will get the effect. Okay? There's no such thing as luck. Barnes succeeded because he chose a definite goal, placed all his energy, all his willpower, all his effort, everything back of that goal. He did not become the partner of Edison the day he arrived. He was content to start in the most menial work as long as it provided an opportunity to take even one step toward his cherished goal. 5 years passed before the chance he had been seeking made its appearance. During all those years, not one ray of hope, not one promise of attainment of his desire had been held out to him. To everyone except himself, he appeared only another cog in the Edison business wheel. But in his own mind, he was the partner of Edison every minute of the time from the very day he first went to work there. Ooh, such juiciness there. 5 years. 5 years. That is it. He had a definite goal and he held it in his mind's eye for 5 years. He did not give up despite outside circumstance. Can you hold your desire as a dominating thought for that long? Most people can't hold it for more than 10 seconds. What if you gently increased the time period with which you held this desire? I know you want it sooner than later. I know that you don't want it to be 5 years from now. You want it now. Of course you want it now. But oftentimes, the big thing that you want is going to take some time, and you need to stay the course with how you are visualizing that, how you are holding it in your mind's eye, and not let outside circumstance determine what you think, what you hold in your mind's eye. Are you going to change your dominating desire, your purpose, your vision, because the outside world isn't giving it to you fast enough? That's called giving up. Just going to call that out there for you guys. That's called giving up. Are you willing to hold in your mind's eye what you want for as long as it takes? This is one of the biggest challenges that you will face. Yet when you master this skill, you will learn a key aspect of the creative process. So let's say you want an amazing lit up relationship where you feel adored, loved, valued, respected, where you feel like you're seen, and your boyfriend breaks up with you or your lover doesn't call you. Are you going to let that outside circumstance crush the desire that you have? Or are you going to say, onward, this is what I want. I am unstoppable. I am determined. I am without a doubt going to have what I want. And the more consistently you hold that, the faster you will create that into manifestation. Okay? What happens when you can't get past the gatekeepers? Let's say there are people between you and the person who can help you achieve your goal or dream. Are you going to give up? Are you going to let that outside circumstance stop you? There's so many examples of this. Maybe you hire someone and then they're not a good fit. Are you going to let that stop you from getting help? You can't grow a business. You can't grow an empire without exceedingly loyal, amazing, smart, driven, like top-notch people. Are you going to say that you don't deserve it? Give up? Say that there's no one good out there? That's an impossibility. Look at all the fabulous, thriving businesses out there. What are you going to hold in your mind's eye? What are you going to do? This is so important. Okay, moving on here. It is a remarkable illustration of the power of a definite desire. He's speaking of Barnes's story. Barnes won his goal because he wanted to be a business associate of Mr. Edison more than he wanted anything else. He created a plan by which to attain that purpose, but he burned all bridges behind him. He stood by his desire until it became the dominating obsession of his life and finally a fact. When he went to Orange, he did not say to himself, "I will try to induce Edison to give me a job of some sort." He said, "I will see Edison and put him on notice that I have come to go into business with him." He did not say, "I will work there for a few months, and if I get no encouragement, I will quit and get a job somewhere else." He did not say, "I will start anywhere. I will do anything Edison..." He did say, "I will start anywhere. I will do anything Edison tells me to do. But before I am through, I will be his associate." He did not say, "I will keep my eyes open for another opportunity in case I fail to get what I want in the Edison organization." He said, "There is but one thing in this world that I am determined to have, and that is a business association with Thomas A. Edison. I will burn all bridges behind me and stake my entire future on my ability to get what I want." He left himself no possible way of retreat. He had to win or perish. Whew! This is so important, guys. So important. No plan B. No plan B. Okay? No plan B. If you want what you want and you truly want it, you can't have one foot in and one foot out. You can't say, "I kind of sort of maybe want this if the stars align and it happens quickly, easily, and without any effort on my part." Or I'm only going to want this as long as other people show up and do X, Y, Z. Or I only am going to want this and go for it if I have the money, if I have the support of other people, if I do it in a particular time frame. No. You guys, this is your life. This is your life. No plan B. You get to want what you want. Have that big stretch goal, that big desire, and then hold it and cut off any other possibility. This means if you want to be with a certain person, you want to be in partnership with that person, whether it's a romantic partnership or a business partnership, or you want to be at a certain level in your business, you want it to make a certain amount of money, you want it to have a certain amount of impact, or you want an empire, and it looks like, you know, 5 jets and 50,000 employees. I don't care what it is. If you want it, cut off all opportunities that take you in a different direction. You cannot have plan B. You cannot have one foot in, one foot out. And you do that by burning the boats, okay? So that you have no possibility of retreat, meaning no way back. You have to win or die. Whew. That's an intense amount of commitment. Do you have that level of commitment? Do you? Do you want it badly enough? Do you want it badly enough? You have to want it badly enough. Now, when I first started along this journey of learning this material, of not just learning it, but living this material. You guys, that is such an important distinction. I hear all the time from women, oh yeah, 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 I know that, I know that, I know that. They parrot it back from me. But when push comes to shove, they do not make committed decisions that show me that they are living this. And this will give them the same results that they've always had. It doesn't move you forward. So you must start now making committed decisions that cut off any other possibility, cut off retreat, cut off going backwards. And what does that mean? That means you have so much at stake that you cannot help but go forward. Let's read how Hill describes it. Okay, where are we here? He says, a long while ago, a great warrior faced a situation which made it necessary for him to make a decision which ensured his success on the battlefield. He was about to send his armies against a powerful foe whose men outnumbered his own. He loaded his soldiers onto boats, sailed to the enemy's country, unloaded soldiers and equipment, then gave the order to burn the ships that had carried them. Addressing his men before the first battle, he said, you see the boats going up in smoke. That means we cannot leave these shores alive unless we win. We now have no choice. We win or we perish. And they won. Every person who wins in any undertaking must be willing to burn his ships and cut off all sources of retreat. Only by doing so can one be sure of maintaining that state of mind known as a burning desire to win, essential to success. I'm telling you, this is so critical. Otherwise, you will find your desire fading. You will get distracted. You procrastinate. You will think and do other things. You will let other things fill your time. You will start ignoring what you really want, and it will fade into oblivion. And then you'll try again. You'll get all excited about something new. But you won't make a committed, burn the boats decision, and it will start again. This is why I require such a high level of investment when people work with me, both in time, energy, commitment, and quite frankly, financially. I tell them when they start working with me, your way doesn't work, my way does. Will you do everything I tell you to do quickly? And if the answer is no, or if they stop doing it, we stop working together. It requires that level of commitment to get to extraordinary levels of success. If you want exponential success, if you want exponential wealth, if you want to achieve your big goals, if you want to actually live out your purpose and potential, you do not have to be perfect, but you do have to be committed. You do have to be committed. We started off this week talking about failure consciousness and success consciousness. And if you want to put it in terms of financials, we can call that wealth consciousness or poverty consciousness. And I want to give you some bonus content for those of you listening to this on the podcast, a little extra something for you on this topic. So how do we actually shift from failure consciousness or poverty consciousness to success consciousness or wealth consciousness? It seems easy, and in some ways it really is. It's not rocket science. It's not, learning calculus or something like that. However, it's more complicated than it seems at the surface. So it might be easy, but it's not simple. It has been some of the most challenging work that I have ever personally done. And you might want to ask yourself why that might be. Why might it be that going from a poverty consciousness, or you could even call it a middle class mindset, right? Because it's not a wealth mindset. So let me rephrase that for you, because poverty comes in all different forms and shapes, and you don't have to be down and out to have a limited consciousness about money. It can come somewhat insidiously in the form of good enough or being in the middle class where things aren't terrible, terrible, terrible. You're not wondering where your next meal is going to come from. But still, to put it in dramatic light, to really call it forward and make it clear for you, I'm calling that poverty consciousness because it's not wealth consciousness, okay? So why might it be so challenging to make that transition? And I want to give you some of the reasons that might be to help you really unpack that, see it for yourself so that you can make a change and make that change quickly and start taking action on this. So the first thing that I want to share is that we tend to have black and white thinking about this, all or nothing thinking. She's talking about total poverty, okay? And that's not me, right? If you're in the middle class and, you know, you're doing all right, you're not thinking about yourself as totally impoverished. And so you throw the baby out with the bathwater and you say, okay, that's not me. But that is black and white thinking. And the thing is that it is progressive. We want to see exactly where you are right now. And you have to be honest with yourself about that and not go into this all or nothing black and white thinking. So if it's not total poverty, then I'm just fine. Well, actually, take a look at that. Without diminishing yourself or cutting yourself off at the knees, take a really good look at the results that you're getting. Are you making the kind of money that you want to make, if we want to put it in terms of finance? It's now, of course, wealth is something that's way beyond just money. Money is absolutely a key essential piece in living in our day and age in society. It's a huge resource for us. But wealth comes in the form of health. Wealth comes in the form of relationships. Wealth comes in the form of time. So are you wealthy in all those areas? But do not dismiss the money. So many people say, oh, I have a great relationship, I'm wealthy. And then on the other hand, they're totally in fear, doubt, and worry about finances. So really get honest with yourself. Are your results the way you want them to be? And stop going into this all or nothing thinking like that. If I say I would like to do better in this part of my life, that's somehow decimating where you're at right now and calling it all bad. No, that's not what we're doing. Hold up a light. Acknowledge how great things are right now and acknowledge how you want things to be better. Don't go into black and white thinking there. Okay. The second piece is that we don't want to admit exactly where we are because of our fear of being wrong. This is such a core fear for many, many people. I would say it's a fundamental thing that most people I encounter are challenged with. They will come up with all sorts of stories about why something is all right in order to protect themselves from being wrong. Okay, so it's all right to make this amount of money. We're doing all right here because they don't want to be wrong about life or wrong about what they're doing. You have to step out of that kind of paradigm in order to really claim something more, a higher level of success or wealth for yourself. You have to stop saying that, claiming that is wrong because it would make what you're doing now wrong, and either seeing one or the other as right or wrong. You have to step out of that. That's not the way it works. Okay, so people do that in order to protect themselves and, quite frankly, their self-esteem from being wrong. And in order to really grow into success and wealth and to have a success consciousness and wealth consciousness, you must be honest with yourself about the stories that you're telling yourself that are keeping you in this paradigm. And yes, good is the enemy of great. Start really looking at that, seeing honestly how you are saying that to yourself. And ultimately, this keeps you trapped in a right-wrong dynamic, which is so painful. It's a no-win situation. It's the opposite of personal emotional freedom. So you're going to want to use this money consciousness that you're engaged in, where you're looking at it as a tool to step out of this. Quite frankly, the act of really choosing and having a desire to make more money, okay? Again, money is a resource, it's a tool, but having that as a desire, as something that I'm going for as a goal, allowed me the structure, gave me the structure through which I could work on this very core issue and get untrapped, okay? And it transformed my mindset, because being trapped in the wrong-right dynamic, I'm either right and you're wrong, or you're either right and I'm wrong, and that whole fundamental thing, or this situation is right and that situation is wrong. When you are in that paradigm, that is, and listen up here, guys, that is the ultimate poverty mindset. That is the ultimate poverty mindset. There is no room for growth there. You don't have the ability to move beyond it. You are trapped. Okay, and you can't see, if you're stuck in that, here's the thing, you can't see your way out of paper bag, okay? You're going to go around in circles there. You can only see as far as you can from your current level of consciousness or awareness. So don't make yourself wrong about your current level of consciousness or awareness, but recognize that you're in it, that you're in this dynamic, that you are seeing it everywhere, and that you must get out of it. So don't make yourself wrong, but don't roll over and give up. Do something about it. Okay, so how do you do something about it? And fundamentally, this is really, I can't stress this enough, but it's about working with people, getting the knowledge from someone who has done it before you, who has already done exactly what you want to do. But this is going to require something from you. There are no shortcuts here. There are no shortcuts here. Let me repeat that. There are no shortcuts here. You can't remain the same person doing the same things, making the same types of decisions, and change and become more and create a wealth consciousness and create a success consciousness and then have the wealth and success that that consciousness leads to. You have to change. There are no shortcuts. You have to show up differently. And it's going to require something different in two fundamental places, in how you spend your time and in how you spend your money. Get that straight. Okay, you have to change how you're spending your time and how you're spending your money. And both of those happen at different times in varying degrees, okay? Depending also on how fast you want to go, okay? It's not either or. It's not time or money. You have to do both, okay? It's both. You will have to make a change in how you're spending your time and how you're spending your money and your attitude about both. Pay attention to that. You must change your attitude about time and money. So if you want to change your consciousness, you're going to have to learn from people who have a higher level of awareness and consciousness than you do. Period, full stop. And in order to do that, you are going to have to invest your time and your money to do that. You're going to have to read books. You're going to have to buy programs. You're going to have to invest the time to read the book, the money to buy the book, the time to read to do the program, the money to do the program. You're going to have to travel and go to conferences. Come to the Unstoppable Woman Summit. If that's on your radar, don't make an excuse about it, okay? You're going to have to invest the time to do that. You're going to have to invest the money to do that. The airfare, the hotel, the price of a ticket, okay? You are going to have to say yes to things that you have not said yes to before. If you're already doing those things, or if you want to jump three levels quickly, you're going to have to say yes to the time and money to do higher level mentorship and coaching. Okay, that's a VIP day, that's private coaching, that's the emergence program. That's something that's going to cause you to change, require you to change, require you to learn to be at a different level than you are right now. Now, everyone's starting at their own place, okay? Start where you're starting. Okay, start exactly where you're starting. And if you're not going to learn and step in with me, do it with someone else that you can say, yes, they have what I want. Okay, this isn't a pitch for me. It's a pitch for investing your time and money in yourself in order to get to the next level. Okay, you'll have to make the leap before you feel ready to make the leap. Okay, because your current level of awareness is saying, I'm here, this is what's comfortable. It's not going to be comfortable to make that decision to go to the next level. All the I can't do it comes up, or I'm not worth it comes up, and you must decide that you can and that you do deserve to do it, that you do deserve to have what you want, that you are worth it. Okay, and you have to step out of going back to the right-wrong paradigm. You have to step out of making the decision to step forward into whatever your next step is wrong, whether it's a program, coaching, whatever it is, travel, doesn't matter. People make it wrong by saying that's too much money or that's too much time. That is you being in a right-wrong paradigm. You're making something else wrong in order for you to be right, and it keeps you trapped exactly where you are. You have to step out of making other people, other things wrong, and making yourself wrong. Both of those things are equally unsustainable. So making yourself wrong would look like, I don't have the ability, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the confidence, I don't have the belief. All of that is making yourself wrong, okay? What if you did? What if it just is, and you want it, and you desire it, and you go for it? Step out of that paradigm and choose from a place of desire, of where you want to be. Make decisions from where you want to be, not from where you are currently. So important. And the last point on this is that it's always a constant stretch, okay? Stepping into a success consciousness and success is always going to stretch you. You must embrace that. And it may, often does, 99.9% of the time, feels uncomfortable. Okay, you must choose what you want regardless of that, what you desire regardless of that, even though it's uncomfortable. You must step forward into growth in order to grow your success mindset, in order for you to be successful. Okay, With that, rock it out, be unstoppable, and have an amazing day. Thank you so much for joining us and for being part of the Unstoppable Woman Movement. This special series is a part of our Morning Mindset Club and comes to you here on the podcast every Saturday morning. If you'd like to join the Morning Mindset Club at no charge, you won't have to wait a whole week and can listen to this series in short daily snippets every morning. Plus, you'll get a quick implementation practice and mastery check-in to go along with it. You can find the Morning Mindset Club info in the show notes below, or just head over to theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. And as always, please share this podcast with two or three women who are ready for exponential growth and exponential wealth. And if you're game, we always appreciate a review on iTunes. That really helps us reach and elevate more women. Thanks so much, and be unstoppable.